guest speaker tonight is Marty Venable, a long-standing supportive member of our valley and has incredible knowledge and experience in our environment and safety and security and a lot of other things. I'll address it later on more, but please pay attention to what she says. You might think, I don't want to give it away, listen carefully. It's actually time that you open their ears and listen and start doing what she is going to inform us about this later. Since 2008, she's managed a local NGO. Karen A, from Sydney, she says, starting working with communities that are affected by civil disobedience and shifting the focus on floods and fires to help community and companies to identify risks, which is very important, and also in our daily lives. And identifying trigger points, those things that are there, it's boiling, and one day it just erupts, and then trying to bend some place and trying to prevent that risk from boiling over as it's going to happen in Australia.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for your time. Also, to everybody here tonight, it's incredibly important that we do have these security reasons and that they submit my name and watches more efficiently. I'm going to ask your indulgence tonight. I'm going to close my notes quite quickly because it's quite a lot of reading. And I'm going to be talking quite straight. I'm known for that, but I'm not quite yet. And I hope you'll forgive me for being there tonight. But this presentation came about because Andre has mentioned that we work together with local councils on socio-economic and safety issues in the valley, in the water valley, and the kinds of risks that the valley face and how those risks are changing according to our changing safety and security situations, according to our changing economic and social issues. And it's become clear to us that as a community, we are not necessarily always clear on what those risks look like. I want to be absolutely clear. I'm going to be direct, as I said, but this is not a political meeting. I do not serve in politics. I'm blessed to not ever have to serve in politics. I'm not here to bash or support a specific political party or the national party or anything like that. I'm not here to bash the police or our services or any of our service providers out there. That is absolutely not the purpose. But there are some facts that we need to put on the table. It's primarily because if you take a look around yourself, life is tough. It's really hard. Things are getting expensive on a daily basis. The food baskets are more expensive. Petrol prices going up again just when we thought it's going to drop. Electricity prices keeps on going up. All around us, society is under pressure at every level. It causes us to focus inward, to look at ourselves and our own survival. When we live on a day-to-day basis, we just want to provide for our children, go to work, come home, hope everybody is safe, hope everybody is healthy, provide them with the food and stuff that they're necessary, that's necessary, buy them the school books that they need and stuff like that. But it causes us to take our eyes off the horizon. We stop looking at the storms that are brewing on the outside of our community. And when those storms hit us, we sometimes don't recognize how badly they can affect us. I call these the moment the sky falls, or when it's the fan moments. And they can creep up on us even when we think that it's not necessarily going to affect us, that's going to happen in another area. Captain Binzer explained to us at length how fortunate we are that we have such low crime levels in this particular ward. It's not necessarily true for places like Ocean View or Muswellbuy, for instance. But in this particular ward, in places like Scarborough and Comiskey and so on, crime is relatively low compared to other places where it's horrifically high. And we sometimes therefore forget that in other areas it's not going quite as well. So if I can draw your memory back to 2021 in July, when we had those horrific riots in KZN, very few people saw that coming. Maybe a few of the local police, but in reporting afterwards, even the police intelligence services admitted they didn't see it coming, not to the extent and the level that it hit them. To give you an idea, just to recap on what it looked like in that environment, and I'm going to touch very briefly on some of the details, and I'm going to rush through my presentation because I know you guys have got other detail to get to, but I want us to just listen to this. They closed major roads. They destroyed approximately 300 buildings, destroyed in total. 2,000 other structures were damaged. Factories were looted and burned. Neighborhood food stores were destroyed and looted to the effect that certain neighborhoods literally couldn't go out and buy milk and food. 45,000 businesses were affected. Many of those, thousands of those, never reopened afterwards. 129,000 jobs were affected in that 9-day period that it happened. 129,000 jobs were put at risk. 16 billion rand worth of damage was caused from private property all the way through to state infrastructure that was destroyed in that period. And 354 people lost their lives. The neighborhoods never saw it coming. They never knew what hit them. There was not enough resources available to deal with the problem. And communities were left on their own. Now, my question is, if we look at these things, when are we going to face another the sky is falling moment? And when is it going to be this community, this valley? When is it going to potentially hit us? I want to read you some stats. Every metric in our society currently is at risk. Our national population stands somewhere between 62 and 70 million people. We don't know exactly how many because the national statistics system isn't working very well. According to the 2011 stats, which is the only accurate things we have more or less available for the valley, we have 95,000 people in the valley. Anybody's guess here today? It's probably closer to 120,000 to 150,000. Okay. Unemployment formally stands at 33.5%. The real unemployment figure is closer to 44% because we don't count those who don't look for work anymore. They're supposedly not unemployed anymore. 63% of South Africans are buying food on credit. 63%. Infant mortality, 23 out of every 100 children die. 71% of infants are living below the poverty line. 30% of under 5-year-olds in this country have stunted growth. 44.5% of between 4 and 5-year-olds do not meet their development goals and are tested for readiness for school. Teen pregnancies are increasing. Gender-based violent numbers are increasing. But welfare budgets are being cut. Teachers' funding is being cut. We know the teachers' numbers are going to be cut. But we have children going into school that have stunted growth and stunted development. Fuel prices are going to increase again soon. And as I said, the cost of your standard grocery budget appears to be going up virtually weekly. My husband and I tend to shop on a weekly basis. It's just easier for us as a household. And there is not a week I walk out of that shop where I don't realize that something's gone up in price or the package is shrunk. Which is a nice new trick they've got. So how long is it going to take us before the sky falls again? When you think how many people are going hungry, when you think how many people are going food deprived, when you think how many people don't have jobs, I've not even touched at the number of school leavers who can't get jobs. Our youth who are starting their futures. I'm not talking even about how many kids fall out between 7 and 6 in the trip. I'm old school, 6 in the trip. We don't even count those numbers. Our system is falling apart, and we are not seeing it because these numbers are hidden in articles and sets of information out there. And we think it doesn't touch us. Until 5,000 people in Masipumulele says, I'm not taking the food in Pick and Pay because I have no other way of getting to it. And they won't be out of line. Or before 100 pensioners in Fishhook says, okay, I've had enough, I'm now committing suicide. Because they have the same problem. This is not color bound. This is not political bound. This is human problems. And it's across the board. And when the sky falls, I want to read you some stats. We have somewhere between 60 and 70 million people in South Africa. We have 180,000 active SAPS members. 60 or 70 million people, 180,000 cops. 5,000 of which approximately is cops. In the private security industry, there is 2.7 million registered private security members in approximately 10,400 companies across the board. At any given moment per day, approximately 580,000 active members operate in the security industry. Not even they are in a position, or were in a position in KZN, to effectively help the communities that they are protecting. We know that our cops, who is our first line of defense, are overworked and understaffed. Our officer has just reminded us of that. They're underpaid, we know that. They're undertrained, we know that. They're under-resourced, and they are constantly fighting a broken legal system that lets the crook walk because he doesn't quite like what's on the docket. And these men and women live in the very communities they want to shoot their heads off because they are actually catching criminals. I've not looked at the infrastructural issues. For instance, our poor railway systems in the Western Cape, it's not too bad, but how many of our people now have transport problems because the railway system isn't doing what it was supposed to be doing? I'm not talking about even our road freight systems, where our trucks are attacked on a daily basis, looted or burnt or destroyed or used for political point scoring because I'm closing a road somewhere and I'm making some politician angry somewhere. Our ports aren't working efficiently, so we can't move our economic goods efficiently in or up our country. Eskom, I don't start, in Gauteng, they've got massive water problems. Thank you, Lord, we were in the Western Cape and at least he's taking care of us here. I really want you to chew over these facts tonight and think about when any one of these triggers make the sky fall in the valley, and we are not ready for it. It is crucial. There is help. There are things that can be done. This is not a negative situation. This is a call to arms, not guns, but to feet on the ground. Help for the people who are doing the job on the ground. Those eyes and ears are crucial, but more needs to be done. If we don't wake up and start working together and start doing it for ourselves, we are going to fall apart. It is up to us to fix it. There are many things that we can do that could make it better on a day-to-day basis, but it is up to you. Even if you just start with a go bag in your car so that when your house starts burning down, which they do around here, you at least have your medicines and your documentation and your cat and your whatever is most important to you, and you can grab it and run out of the house. Or, if a hostile force starts storming into your community, what are you going to start doing about that? Have you ever been in Masi when there's a riot? Do you know how scary it is inside Masi when Masi riots? My husband had to clear a crèche of children because the tear gas started drifting into the crèche. And the kids had to be evacuated. And Pat and Gus were the only people on the ground that saw the problem and could help. We have an Ocean View CPF chair here. He stood in front of some of those riots. He understands how the people inside Ocean View can't get out of Ocean View to go to the hospital when Ocean View is rioting. We're in this together. We're one country. We are one people. We need to start working together. Thank you.